You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi everybody, producer Al here. It's time for another TSFP Presents re-release here on the Monday podcast feed, and it's another episode of our series A History of Transfers, first released back in 2019. This week we discuss the biggest bargains in La Liga history. And by the way, talking of bargains, nice segue there, our TSFP merch is still available. Remember, it's only guaranteed to be available over at gambea.com/TSFP until tomorrow. If you're listening to this on the day of release, that's Friday the 8th of March. So check it out. Lovely shirts, lovely socks, bargains as well. Gambea.com/TSFP. Now, enjoy the pod.
Hello and welcome to TSFP Presents A History of Transfers. This week, we're talking about bargains. We're talking about the best value transfers of the last few years. We're not going to go that far back.
Well, the further back you go, the harder it is to sort of work out what is a bargain and what isn't. Yeah. Because at some point, you know, every player was going for a few pesetas, weren't they?
That's true.
Yes.
Who knows?
And also, at the same time, I just wanted to preface all this by saying I feel a little bit uncomfortable doing a programme based on money, because football is about so much more than money. It's about, you know, culture and identity and passion and all that. Having said that, let's talk about bargains.
But in a way, maybe there is an argument that says, actually, but that's reinforced by this. Because this is proving that you don't need lots of money to get happiness. Because these are guys who didn't cost much and it was brilliant anyway. In fact, in some cases, the best things in life are free. And some of the best players are as well.
All right, yeah.
See?
All right, Sydney.
Yeah, you're smiling now. True. You like this, don't you?
I am, I do. I like
it.
I'm feeling better about this. Let's start off with a free transfer.
Go on then, which one?
Maka.
Yes!
Steve McManaman, who signed for Real Madrid on a Bosman, on a free transfer.
One of the, probably the first really high-profile player to do
High-profile and really quite controversial as well, because a lot of Liverpool fans weren't happy with the way that it happened.
I always found this kind of contradictory, in the sense that, so you get this thing that fans always say, oh, it's terrible that players never see out their contracts, players never respect their contracts, players break their contracts. And then you get a player who absolutely to the letter respects his contract.
Yeah.
To the day, sees out his contract, does exactly what he said he would do, and they're even more annoyed because he hadn't broken his contract. Mm. So, you know, well, it would have been better if he'd signed a contract and broken it. Now, of course, what that meant, and McManaman was very, very conscious of this, and Real Madrid were very conscious of this, and this is one of the reasons why, as things moved on, certainly into the Florentino Perez era, there was an attempt to move him out. That fact that they didn't pay a transfer fee meant that they paid him an absolutely enormous salary, as Maka himself admitted on numerous occasions, far more than he was probably worth. Although I would argue that, because I think he was worth every penny.
Yeah, I guess when we talk about bargains, we should say focusing only on transfer fees alone could be misleading, because as you rightly say, quite often it's all about the overall financial package.
Try and put this in context. These are very rough ballpark figures, but in the Galactico era, the first Galactico era, basically you were talking about the Galacticos on €6 million a year, so Zidane, Ronaldo, and so on. You were talking other players in the squad at best around about €1 million. So the disparity was absolutely huge. And then almost slap bang in the middle at around €3.5 million was Steve McManaman. It's like all of these kind of what was then termed by Solari, in fact, the middle class. All looking at Maka going, hang on a minute, how did you swing this one?
Why was he such a bargain? Obviously, he was a bargain because he didn't cost any money in terms of transfer fee. But how good was he?
Right, okay, so if you ask any Real Madrid fans, did you like Maka, they will all say yes.
Yeah.
That is partly about personality, and we've had this kind of discussion when we discussed Gareth Bale and the way that he's received. But also, Maka won two leagues and two European Cups. Now, You could argue...
And a Spanish Super Cup and a UEFA Super Cup as well. So yes. He had a lot of
silverware. You could argue in a way that, all right, perhaps not hugely significant in all the way through those. But, for example, that first Champions League, man of the match in the final, at a time when... What happened was that they'd signed him as a right-sided midfielder. They'd brought in Luis Figo, so they nudged him out of the team. At that point, Real Madrid are trying to force him out. McManaman says, I don't want to go. I want to stay here. I want to stay at Real Madrid. And the fans really admired that, and the fans liked him for that, because obviously there are all sorts of other elements, but the fundamental one from their point of view was, this guy really likes Real Madrid. Then, of course, he then finds a place in the team on the left-hand side of midfield. On the left-hand side of midfield, but drifting in slightly, so he's an auxiliary midfielder, because, of course, he had the benefit of that Real Madrid team having Roberto Carlos. You let him cover the whole of the left wing, you don't have to play wide, you tuck inside. And this was at that period when Johan Cruyff described him as everyone's best partner, because he was one who would link things together and play a central role of touch and control and technique rather than necessarily running at people, which is what he'd done at Liverpool.
That's what I always found so impressive, was the way that he seemed to, I think, displays a real kind of footballing intelligence to completely reinvent himself to what was needed. Because I feel like the player that you used to watch him be at Liverpool was so different to the player he ended up being for Real Madrid, because that was what the situation required.
And in fact, he'd really done it a little bit even before Figo came, because he starts as a right winger, but that team that wins the European Cup plays with three centre-backs and two wing-backs, the wing-backs being Roberto Carlos and Michel Salgado. And then they move to a three in the midfield, and that three in the midfield becomes Redondo, McManaman, and the other one escapes me. Who's the other midfielder? It's effectively two, because it's Redondo, McManaman, and it's Anelka, Morientes and Raul.
Right.
And so McManaman plays a central role with Redondo, and it's just keep the ball, move the ball. And then, as I say, then in comes Figo that summer, and it's like, right, well, you're definitely not going on the right now. Mm. And they ditch the three-man central-back routine. And so there isn't anywhere for him to go. But then he becomes that narrow left-sided player. Then they sign Zidane in that position as well. So he's had Figo and Zidane signed in his place. And even with Zidane, he plays a bit of a role, less of one admittedly, but a bit of a role in them win the European Cup again.
So he's a bargain in terms of the transfer fee, which was zero. They paid him a lot of money, but he did a lot of good work. And I think Vicente Del Bosque said, didn't he, that he was very important in the dressing room as well. Really, really important.
Vicente really, really likes him. I mean, genuinely likes him. What do you call it in English? A posse.
He's not just saying that.
He's not just saying it.
Yes. Yeah. When we did our production meeting for this programme, Al mentioned, in terms of free transfers, Henrik Larsson. But I'm not sure how, I don't know.
Should we? I mean, look, I would love not to talk about Henrik Larsson at all. Believe me, I would love not to talk about him.
Yeah. Why not,
I feel like. Because he's responsible for the 30 most painful minutes of my football fan life.
Surely that's Naeem who's responsible for that.
That wasn't 30 minutes. That was in like added time. So that was just a few cruel seconds. But I mean, the last half hour in the 2006 Champions League final in Paris was more prolonged in terms of pain. Yeah. And I've never seen a player come off the bench and make such an impact in such a big game. Well, I can't think of many other examples.
In a way, there was two of them, wasn't it? Because Iniesta came on as well and they both made an impact. But you're right, it's Larsson. Yeah, it feels like Larsson. And what was interesting about that final away is that Larsson came on and made an impact with his passing, not his goal scoring.
Oh, my goodness me. I mean, I was watching the highlights of this game earlier for the first time. I have never watched those highlights before.
That's why you can see that slight self-inflicted stab wound in the side of Al's head.
But honestly, go and watch them, because the first assist for Eto, the touch from Larsson is unbelievable. It's so delicate, the way that he lays it off first time into Eto's path, who finishes. The second goal, the pass is very good. Although I think, to be honest, people say Larsson had two assists in that final. I think the second assist should go to Manuel Almunia. I don't think that Larsson should be credited with that one, because I think Belletti's shot was off target and Almunia deflects it into the back of the net between his legs.
That should be his goal.
That's a hobby horse of mine, let's not get into it. But I mean, are your doubts, Kitcher, about including him, because he was only there for a couple of years, and apart from that one game, I mean, he was injured, he had like knee problems, didn't he?
Yeah, serious problems.
Yeah, but that one game alone, I mean, he won Barcelona the Champions League.
There's something a bit more lasting about Larsson, which is that he created, if you like, a new kind of player or a new kind of
concept.
Signing, a concept, exactly. And ever since him, Barcelona have been sort of looking for the Larson signing.
Not just Barcelona,
So we saw it this summer when they signed Kevin Prince-Boateng.
I was going to say, was he the prince of his day?
There's this idea that you can get someone in who doesn't necessarily need to be first choice, but who will respond every time you put them in the team, who will score goals every time you put them in the team, and who will be useful and who will accept it, but won't accept it as a kind of, right now I'm going to get comfortable and not fight anymore. And Larsson in that sense was absolutely perfect. Now, I remember Larsson saying something very, very interesting about his time on the bench, and I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer used to say something very similar about how you sit on the bench and you watch. And you watch and you wait to see what's going on and you analyse, and so that when you go on the pitch, you're better prepared to make an impact when you go on the pitch. I spoke to Larsson when I did the book, whenever it was, 5 years ago, whatever now, and he was really, really interesting in terms of the pattern, and admitting that he was pissed off not to have started, that he felt that he'd done enough, that actually, you know, however good these people are around me, I want to be in that team. So he had that combination of faith in himself and the humility to accept it, if not like it, accept it, and then go on and say, okay, I'm going to show you. And he did.
All right, well, there we go. He's definitely worth a mention, as you said, perhaps more for that concept.
Yes,
that Larsson
changing
signing
the
concept.
Idea yeah, that yeah, you, yeah. you can buy a player that's not going to improve your starting 11, it's still worth it.
I mean, we've got quite a few names to go through. I've got one that I think is the best bargain of all the ones that we're going to mention, but we'll
Danny
save
Alves.
That. We'll save that for a bit. Dani Alves is actually the next one on the list I've got here, and he is a bargain twice. So he's a bargain for Sevilla
yes.
at around about 800,000.
Yeah, like yeah, a little bit under a million.
And he's a bargain for Barcelona at 32 million or 30
yes.
million, however
yes,
much ended
yeah,
up paying for him. I mean, he's twice a massive bargain.
Liverpool and Chelsea both thought he cost too much, and it's like 36 yeah. million for a fullback, are you sure?
Mm.
Or 32, 36, whatever the total price was. And he was absolutely brilliant.
I mean, it's almost worth, Sid, going through your... you made an 11 in your Monchi piece
oh, wow.
of,
yeah, yeah.
of Monchi players. And the
Do you
total,
have it to hand?
I've got it right here.
Fantastic.
So this
right,
is
let's
a,
go through this
These
team.
Are 11 players who Monchi bought and sold during the first Monchi era for Sevilla.
This is a great one.
So it was Palop in goal, Alves, Fazio, Cáceres, Adriano. In midfield, Rakitic, Julio Baptista, Zedou Keita, Christian Poulsen. And then Luis Fabiano and Carlos Bacca.
Total price?
So they were bought for a total of 25 million euros. They were sold, 25 million euros, and they were sold for 170 million euros.
Fantastic.
And that's only the players that he bought and sold. That doesn't include the players that he sold for big
like
money.
Like Ramos and Jesus Navas and so on, yeah.
Mm. And even doesn't include someone like Canute, who didn't necessarily make a profit or anything, but was incredible.
Mm. Yeah, and Canute was considered expensive at the time, but looking back on it, he was probably a bargain too. I think he cost about... 6 or 7 million, something like that.
Mm.
That I am speaking off the top of my head. I must confess, I can't remember the exact fee.
You mentioned someone else who is twice a bargain as well, and that's Ivan Rakitic as
yes.
well. Sevilla signed him for 2.5 million, I think it was,
from
Schalke.
Schalke,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and they made a profit of over 17 million euros on him, right?
Yes, I mean, they sold him for about 20 million to
and
Barca.
They got a lifelong Sevillista.
They got a lifelong Sevillista, but also that might be to do with his wife.
Yes.
Yes.
But I suspect that
he's told the story many times of how he met his wife. But a huge bargain for Barcelona as well.
I think so.
I mean, what a bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a player who, all right, it's true that he's not Xavi or Iniesta. It's true that this Barcelona midfield doesn't have some of that depth of identity the last one did. But and we've talked about this a little before, but I think it's worth going back into this. And I asked Ernesto Valverde this literally a couple of weeks ago. What Rakitic does is he gives you consistency and he gives you what the team needs. So if Busquets is getting a bit overrun, he tucks alongside Busquets and he makes it two in the middle. If the team needs to open out, he'll go towards the wing. If the team is getting caught behind the fullback, he's the one
yes.
cleaning up there. If the team needs someone to drive into the area, he does it. So the things that Rakitic doesn't do in a game, it's not because he can't, it's because he's not supposed to. It's because his reading of the game says to him, don't do it. And I think in that sense, he's one of the most selfless players there is, despite the quality. And people forget this about that Sevilla team. Sevilla would rotate Rakitic between deep midfield and number 10, depending on what that game needed. Do we need an extra man in midfield? Deep midfield. Do we want to score goals? Number 10. That last season at Sevilla, it was something like 15 assists and 15 goals in the same season, in the league alone. Just an extraordinary player who did all these things. And then, as I say, when I asked Valverde about this, he said, the thing you get with Rakitic is you get absolute consistency from the first minute to the last, and from the first game of the season to the last game of the season, every single time.
For 18 million euros, that sounds like a bargain to me.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
By the way, it's quite funny, isn't it, that we're now talking about an 18 million euro player as a bargain. I mean, just how quickly transfers have moved. How a massive...
I've got some more expensive players to talk about.
How a massive fee now doesn't seem like much at all.
I wanted to put Ronaldo in this as well, you know.
Cristiano.
Yeah, 80 million.
I mean, I feel like when someone breaks the world transfer records, I don't know if you can call that a bargain. I feel like that's stretching
the definition of a bargain. Put it this way, it's not going to the video shop.
Although, yes, good value for money.
Yeah, it's not going to the video shop and having that big... bin there, and you can pull out a video, a DVD for a euro, is it?
Cristiano was never in that bin.
He was never in that bin, no.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Someone else who wasn't in a bin, although he was a bargain, but he was such a wonderful, twinkle-eyed Uruguayan. Diego Forlán.
You love a Uruguayan, yeah.
Just Kid chose to get a Uruguayan in there. Yeah, but rightly so. Rightly so.
€3 million Villarreal paid for him when they signed him from Manchester United. And his goal-scoring record for Villarreal is unbelievable.
Well, he was Pichichi in the first season, wasn't he? Yeah. Top scorer.
And that is the thing. In a way, the bargain comes because he leaves United and everyone says, this guy's rubbish.
Yes.
And Villarreal have decided, you know what, he's not.
Yeah,
he's not rubbish. We can get something from this guy. We can make him work. And I don't know about you, but I always felt that that World Cup, when they reached the semi-finals 2010, where he was effectively playing in midfield, he was wonderful.
Mm. He's still playing. He was sort of still playing until maybe a couple of months ago, I think.
He's done the rounds in some Pichichi is well
at Atletico Madrid, of course. So, I mean, he's Pichichi at two different clubs in Spain.
Yes, I mean, Atletico signed him for about €18 million.
I mean, obviously, him, more, Hugo Sanchez, I'm not sure how many other players have been Pichichi for more than one club in Spain. They may well be the only two. I mean, obviously, there could well be someone going way back, but they're the only two that I can think of right now.
Mm. Yeah, but he was a fabulous signing.
It's possible Amancio had done it at Depor before going to Real Madrid, but we'll have to look that up.
What about Luka Modric then? We talked about €18 million sounding ridiculous for a bargain.
Well, you're a Spurs fan.
€30 million for a bargain.
Tell me the thing that most Spurs fans tell me every time you say, "Oh, I bet you miss Gareth Bale." They always said, "No, we miss Modric."
Absolutely. I mean, they'd quite happily have both back. To be fair.
Of course.
But obviously, Luka Modric endeared himself to Spurs fans in perhaps a way that Gareth Bale didn't necessarily do, just because.
Because
he's Luka, and because he plays football the way that Spurs fans have an idea in their mind that football should be played, and he really was a Spurs player.
Which is the way that Graham Roberts used to play it.
Well, yeah, well, I don't know about
that. Pat Van
Den Hau. Are there any bargains buying from Spurs? Would Daniel Levy accept?
Well,
that,
in a way,
like it's
in
hard
a way,
to get a bargain.
In a way, that's
lame.
Exactly the point with this.
Yes.
You think you've been hauled over the coals by Levy. Levy thinks he's got a great deal out of you. Levy thinks, look at those mugs. €30 million they pay for this guy.
Yeah.
Quite good.
Quite good. I don't know how many titles he's won. It's a lot. I think
have you got the list there?
15 titles.
15 titles.
15 titles, obviously four Champions League. Only one La Liga.
Yes.
Only
that
one
is,
La Liga.
That is true. That
but
is.
Obviously, when he came, they were still epically searching for the 10th European Cup, and now they've got 13.
Yeah.
So.
And it's worth pointing out as well that it's only one Liga, and actually that season he was absolutely wonderful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In fact, I think that season he was significantly better than he was last year when he won the Ballon d'Or.
I mean,
last year was not his good season at all.
No.
And he wins the Ballon d'Or.
But I think that was just for his general consistency.
And for getting to the final of the World Cup, of course,
which
helps.
And because everyone loves him. So obviously, I think he has to be in here. You could also mention Toni Kroos if you wanted to, at €25 million.
And you know what? I know it doesn't feel like it now, but at the time, I remember thinking they'd done an amazing job around Madrid for getting Mesut Ozil for only about €17 million. I think it was between 15 and €17 million.
And they did even better for selling him for €50 million as well.
Because he had been one of the great young stars of the World Cup.
And actually, there were times at Real Madrid where you thought, he's a really, really special
If you look
player.
Back, as I have, you know, if you watch the highlights...
But then, of course, you went to Arsenal, which is where footballers go to not so much die, as just fade away.
Would you say that to Santi?
Santi bucked the trend. That's what makes Santi such a great player. Now, there's that. He was a bargain. How much did Arsenal play for Santi?
I think it was like 16.
I remember Manuel Pellegrini, the Malaga manager. I think it was 16, between 16 and 17, something around there.
Yes, yeah,
Manuel Pellegrini saying, we've given him away.
Mm, I remember that.
Because, of course, Malaga... I mean, furious. Again, this is the context. Malaga were suddenly forced into a fire sale because of financial fair play, and Santi's one of the first ones out, and that was a bargain. I mean, I know that's leaving Spain, so maybe it shouldn't be in here, but anything. Any excuse to put Santi in is all right by me.
Absolutely, anything goes. Right. The biggest bargain that I had come up with in looking over some of these bargains, Diego Godin for Atletico Madrid.
Mm.
€8 million they paid for him in 2010. Mm. Think of everything that's happened for Atletico Madrid since then. Think of the number of games that he's played. Think of how fundamental he's been to all of those.
Think of how
Uruguayan he is.
Yeah. I mean, irrespective of his magnificent Uruguayanness.
Yes.
He has to be considered as one of the incredible bit of business. It ended
very badly at Villarreal. There's some very famous footage of in the tunnel at the Madrigal.
Oh, yeah?
It was then, of him, and I can't remember if it's Yanetha or if it's actually Roch himself, either Yanetha, the sporting director, or Roch, the president, literally pointing the finger at each other, calling each other names, and Godin being accused of unprofessional and so on, which is amazing because, in a way, he's the absolute model and embodiment of the professionalism that Diego Simeone installed at Atletico Madrid.
Mm. I mean, in the same way that we broadened out the Sevilla discussion to talk about various Monchi signings, I guess you could probably do the same with Atletico Madrid. They've had some... It's been hit and miss over the last decade or so.
Well, the weird thing is the expensive ones haven't been good. It's the cheap ones that have been good.
You could point to a number of bargains of players who've been really, really good servants for a long time.
Juan Fran cost almost nothing.
Yeah.
Felipe Luis cost almost nothing. Gabby. They would have spent a reasonable amount on him, but not so much that it wouldn't look like a bargain now. You know, it's... I think Gabby might have been around about 10 million. But poof.
Yes, all serious bargains. And as you said, their most expensive player
are the ones that aren't good, really.
Well, Lamar for 70 million. Yeah. You know, you could get a lot of Godins for that.
Yes, you could.
Yeah, you? Team full of Godins. That's what everyone needs, basically.
We all dream of a team of Godinis. Doesn't scan, does it?
Certainly not. Who else have we got? You've got a long list there.
We've covered a lot of them. We've also got Aritza Duric going back to Athletic Club for the third time. They paid $2.5 million for him at the age of 31.
Thinking that
it's the twilight of his career. Yeah. You know, winding down.
We'll get a couple of years out of this guy.
And he's still there.
And he's still there. I mean, this is
sort
a bit like...
This is the end.
We talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the really significant ones. We talked about this with Donato.
Yes.
Who went to Deportivo on an initial four-year contract. Thinking, right, that will be the end of it because he went at 30. And then he signed another 4 one-year contracts off that because they kept thinking, well, at some stage soon, this is going to be over. And boom, 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 boom. He just kept on going.
Mm. No, but Aduriz has been amazing. Yeah. I mean, he's been their only striker.
It's not just that he's been their best striker. He's been pretty much their only striker for a very long time.
That's an incredible bit of business. Well done to them. What about Juan Mata when he signed for Valencia?
That was pretty good, wasn't it? Mm. I mean, that was there was a battle actually with Real Madrid over this. Mm. There was a battle over the nature of his contract. Juan Mata's dad, who's a former footballer and effectively looked after him as an agent as well as a father, really had to take Real Madrid on, and it actually left a little bit of bitterness between not so much between Mata himself, but between Mata's camp, if you like, his father, his family, and so on, and Real Madrid. A little bit too between Real Madrid and Valencia, but not so much because it was more about Mata extricating himself from that relationship. But yeah, goes to Valencia for nothing, and Valencia sell him to Chelsea for 25.
Just under 25 million.
Yeah.
Oh, in our production meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Marco Asensio was also mentioned, signed for around about €3.5 million.
Yes.
Even if he goes on and does absolutely nothing else in Real Madrid again.
Well, look at how much money Real Madrid themselves, for example, went and spent on Vinicius Jr. Mm. or they spent on Rodrigo, who hasn't arrived yet.
Mm.
Massive
sums.
And
who doesn't have a spell.
Yeah, but he goes. Where is he going? No one knows.
There he goes, yeah.
But then compare that to what they spent on Asensio.
Also, one of the things that they did with Asensio, of course, was because he had Barcelona chasing him as well, it's remarkable how little he cost. And, of course, what Real Madrid did in part was to negotiate with Mallorca a scenario in which, you know, we'll leave him there for the rest of this season because I think the deal was done in January.
Mm, yes.
And that there was just a sense, and I remember Miguel Angel Nadal, of course, former Barcelona centre-back, who was involved with Mallorca at the time, saying, you know, it's basically been handled much better by them. You know, and we felt comfortable doing this deal with Real Madrid. With hindsight, Mallorca were bloody idiots because they surely could have got more for him.
Well, yeah, that's the other half of the bargain equation.
And the weird thing about it, in a way, is that at the time we knew it. Like, this isn't a player that no one had heard of, and they bought this kid and no one heard of him. Everyone knew that this guy, in theory, was the next really
big star. So was it just necessity? Did they have them over a barrel?
I think they probably did, yeah.
There's someone also that we could possibly mention. Gerard Piqué in his coming back to Barcelona.
Mm.
Best bargain signing of a defender ever?
Well, I said Godin, but yeah, I mean, you know, Piqué...
€5 million.
Yeah.
I mean, €5 million, you've bought yourself a defender and you've bought yourself your future president.
President. Yeah, it's true. It's
and
true.
Genuinely, I mean, I know this is maybe a little bit out of date now. It's maybe no longer the case and people say you're talking total nonsense, which obviously wouldn't be the first time people have said that to me. But you do look back over this last decade, until the last couple of years at least, and think people never talked about Piqué as much as they should have done as a player. They talked about him loads of all the political stuff, but people, I think, didn't talk about Piqué as much as they should have done.
You feel that people are now?
I think it's starting to happen a little bit, yeah.
Hmm.
How much did Barca spend on Ter Stegen when they brought him in?
I honestly don't know off the top of my
head.
Because
when you look now at how much Premier League teams, for example, are spending on goalkeepers like Alisson going to Liverpool, I mean, whatever they spent, it wouldn't have been very much
for €80 million.
Exactly, for a keeper of that quality.
Well, old Jan Oblak was the most expensive goalkeeper in the history of La Liga, and he cost €16 million.
Yeah, and that doesn't look like a lot now.
€16 million? Yeah. The best goalkeeper in the world?
Doesn't look like a lot, does it?
£16 million?
But it was, obviously, at the time. It was
a record.
Yeah.
that was
the thing. I mean, it's worth pointing this out that, you know, you have to try and remove yourself a little bit from the impact of inflation. It's not just about that, because of course, you know, it's like saying, well, you know what, Buckingham Palace used to only be worth £5, or
yeah, all right. Well, we're talking about Ter Stegen signed for £12 million in 2014. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not.
Yeah, and there was a suggestion at the time that they'd overpaid, and there was a suggestion as well that it wasn't necessary because, of course, they had Claudio Bravo. And how bizarre it looks now that those two shared the goalkeeping duties for a while.
It really does.
Yeah? Yeah? I mean, Claudio Bravo. You might have played Juliet Bravo.
So, there we go. Some bargains from the last sort of 20 years or so, and more recently as well, because when you're talking about money and figures,
it's quite difficult to get a handle on some of those other things.
I mean, we had mentioned in our production meeting, Milinko Pantic.
Actually, that's a very, very good shout, yes.
Also, just in that it was but quite...
Because he cost 75 million pesetas, which I don't really know how much that is.
I think it would have been about 375 million. You're talking about 350,000, aren't you? I don't know.
Something like that.
Well, it was also quite a weird one, because he was like 29.
Yeah.
You know, he sort of came out of nowhere in a way, and then he went after like 3 years
off. He didn't come out of nowhere. Well, he came from Panionios.
I mean, I preferred him that was his
golden era, wasn't it? When he was at, what were they called again?
Panionios.
Yeah. Yes. When he was at Panionios, he was really, really good. I'm going to say
he was very good.
Yes. Panionios. Yes. Sounds really good. So when he was at Panionios,
that's why they signed him.
But he, and of course, he's a fundamental part of that Doblete team in the sense that he. It was the set plays. The set plays were so important to him. It was his quality of delivery on the corners.
Yes.
It's because of him that those flowers are put by the corner flag in every game, even now. And you sort of think of that, and that should be a homage to someone who's died, but it's not. It was just this bizarre, what was her name? Margarita? I can't remember her surname. She just decided.
You've lost me here. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you go to an Atletico game, there is a bunch of flowers by the corner flag. Every game.
Is there?
Laid there by a woman called Margarita. I can't remember her surname and I apologise.
Margarita.
And you know, you put the flowers by the corner flag and you think it's because it's in homage of someone who's died. It wasn't. Just in homage of Pantic does these great corners and we score lots of goals and it happened once and it worked and it brought them luck and so they keep doing it. And they still do it now at the Wonder.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. There we go. So yes, we could include Milinko Pantic certainly in one of the biggest bargains in La Liga. Thanks for listening. We'll have another episode of A History of Transfers in a couple of weeks' time, and we're going to be talking about flops.
It might be a long old episode, because there are plenty. I mean, look, Spanish football, not necessarily known for its wise, you know, bargains, we've stretched it out a bit, but flops, it's going to be hard to narrow it down.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
There are loads, and we're going to go through quite a lot of them. So
I'm just picturing Julien Faubert.
Yeah. We're going to have a long production meeting before that one. So yes, make sure you join us for that one. Thanks for listening. Adios.
Cheerio.
Bye.